Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Super Tuesday.
You can't do a heavy metal Tuesday without a little Megadeth.
That's right, yeah.
Keep the text coming at 508-57 on Heavy Metal Day. Megadeth makes an appearance. By the way, if you ever wondered why Fox is going to pay Scott billions to keep the NFL, let me tell you the audience of the late game when Fox has the second game of the doubleheader, Scott. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Bucks Saints, $26 million.
Wow.
Okay. Ready? Mm-hmm. Cowboys Seahawks, $23 million.
Mm.
Giants Cowboys, $23 million. At the moment, without this weekend's this past weekend's college football numbers, that's five times the size of any SEC football game on CBS.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So that's why they'll pay Fox will for the NFL. Massive numbers. Matt Michelle covers college football for the Orlando Sentinel. Has kind of joined us every Tuesday right around this time. He was the guest speaker last night at the Orlando Touchdown Club. That was a fun evening, although you had a chance to speak after every state team lost, so the room was kind of in a sour mood, but nonetheless a fun night.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, it's unfortunate that all our state teams had suffered losses. It would have been a little more festive atmosphere, I think, if we could have talked about wins rather than the massive amount of points and yardage that our teams gave up this weekend.
All right, everybody has to have an opinion. I think that I'm done with this topic, but it won't go away because there'll be a game this weekend in Gainesville. Do you have any thoughts about Dan Mullen and crowd sizes?
Yeah, you know, I think when you think about Dan, I think, you know, coming off moments after coming off a really bad loss to Texas A&M, you know, I think he kind of got caught up in the moment, and he really wanted to say, listen, you know, let's, you know, we want to fill the swamp and we want to have all our fans there. He felt like the crowd at Kyle Field was, you know, way more than it was. And it might have been at some point, but, you know, it was nowhere near being capacity. And I think, you know, he just wanted to, I think, vent, wanted to see more fans. This could be a little bit of a shot at the idea that, you know, listen, they had, 17,000 tickets for their home opener and they only sold, I think, 14,000. So, you know, maybe he's just a little bit frustrated by the fact that fans aren't coming out and supporting the team a little bit, and maybe that was his kind of his way of doing it. It's obviously not it's not a good look when you consider what we're going through with the pandemic, and I think at some point we'll eventually get more fans in the stands, but at that moment, just coming off a loss, I think it was a bad look in his mind.
Matt, I talked about this on this show yesterday. It was brought up last night at the Touchdown Club. And please share your thoughts. Florida loses a high-scoring game against A&M in the SEC. We see all these points up. Is this just where we are in college football that even Nick Saban can accept, maybe not 63-48, but that this is just where we are, that you're going to give up yards and points because you're getting yards and points?
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing this more and more. I think you mentioned it last night that, you know, a lot of teams are going to the spread offenses, and I think you're seeing that in the SEC in particular. There's a reason why schools like Ole Miss and Mississippi State went out and hired coaches who are known for being offensive-minded guys. I mean, you bring in Lane Kiffin and a Mike Leach, guys who, you know, run those kind of offenses because schools see, they're looking around the country, they look at UCF, they look at some of these other programs, and they say, man, everyone's putting up a bunch of points. We're going to have to make that kind of shift. And I think you're just seeing that. I think Nick Saban realizes, you know, the days of, you know, lining up in the eye and running the football, you know, five straight times in a row are probably going to be gone. They're going to have to find ways to put up those points. I also think, and as we talked about last night, that you know, when you look at what's gone on with the pandemic, you look at the fact that teams haven't had opportunities to have spring ball, haven't had these opportunities to have, you know, any sort of summer camps or have players on campus, that it kind of hurt them a little bit when it comes to tackling procedures and you know, working through some of those issues. And I think we've seen that. We've seen poor tackling in a lot of games this year, more so than we probably ever would have seen. And I think that's kind of led to that a little bit. But I agree. I think when you can get Nick Saban to kind of just chuckle and say, oh, well, we gave up, you know, 48 points and 600 and some yards, I think that's a little bit of a tells you kind of the time and place we're at right now in college football.
What did you take away of Miami-Clemson, and is it possible for somebody to take away that Clemson is just that much better than everybody, and therefore Miami's better and could be among that large group outside of the top four or five teams? So what should a Canes fan feel good and not so good about after the Clemson game?
Well, I mean, I think you look at this, the fact that, you know, if you're a Canes fan, that, you know, De'Aaron King obviously is the guy who's going to, you know, lead this offense. He's a guy that the offense is there. There are things they could have done better. The problem is that he was the only guy that was doing anything on offense. So, you know, they didn't rush the ball very well outside of him. They struggled to get the ball downfield. They had a couple big plays, but he was responsible for that. They need to find some other guys to step up and make some of those plays. Defensively, they had some moments. You know, they obviously were able to block a few field goals. But I just think when you look at Clemson from top to bottom, this is the best team in the country right now. I mean, they run the football really well. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is still playing at that elite level. Defensively, they've got some young guys. But those young guys were able to get a tremendous amount of pressure on King and the running backs, and they were able to force those negative plays. And I think that just goes to show you that Clemson, you know, just continues to play at that level. Dabo Swinney continues to find ways to recruit and bring in guys. That backup quarterback for Clemson, he just threw him in there just for the sake of let's give him some experience, and he looks really good. So, I mean, this Clemson team is here to stay, and they prove they're the top team in the country right now.
I have a theory. There's a series of events in any first year for a head coach. Once that head coach is hired, the fan base believes that everything now has been fixed and they're going to get better. And then the minute that team has a stinker, they think they hired the wrong guy. So Mike Norvell's gone through that, both the hire and then the bad game. And then fans begin to see a potential light at the end of the tunnel. Now, at Florida State, they shouldn't talk about moral victories because the program has been among the elite in the country. But do you think that's like the next stage, that a Seminole fan now calms down and goes, okay, he's now trying to figure out what he wants to do, and we're not going to win all of our games. We may win a few more games, but this is just part of the process.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think early on, I think, again, being a first-year coach, going through unprecedented time right now with the pandemic, not having spring ball, not having summer, you know, having a limited fall camp. You know, I think you saw those struggles early on. But I think you're starting to see, as you said, that light at the end of the tunnel. You're starting to see how they played. They went up against a really good Notre Dame team and were able to, early on at least, to do some really good things. They were able to, you know, Jordan Travis came in and was able to find, you know, some big play capabilities there. He was able to guide the offense and get some points. So I think right now they're starting to see, okay, Jordan's going to be our guy for now. We're starting to find some guys at the playmaker spot. You know, we've got some running backs that are definitely talented. Our offensive line isn't playing nearly as bad as it did last year. I think defensively they still have some question marks. I think their defensive line isn't getting enough pressure. It was supposed to be one of their high spots. But they're starting to put some of those pieces together, and they aren't going to win a lot of games, but they are going to win some games maybe that they weren't supposed to, because eventually all those things are going to click. It's just, this is one of those years I think you have to chalk up to being first year coach, and you're still trying to get your plays, your system, and your guys into place.
I don't want to get to this week and some of the many interesting storylines, but I also want to get your thoughts. What we're watching at Baylor, who already had their game this week with Oklahoma State, acts because of their COVID issues. That number is, I guess now we're up to almost 30 players and then about, what, 12, 14 staffers. We know FAU had some numbers yesterday. What do we know about Baylor? Because this doesn't seem like a one-week-off thing, Matt.
No, this doesn't. I mean, when you look at the situation for Baylor, I mean, you start to wonder, is this going to be one of those cases? You know, when we know that Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 coach, had mentioned this, you know, before the season started, that there could be some sort of, you know, late season spike. Is this going to be the situation in the case of Baylor? You know, they're probably not going to be able to hit the football field at least for 3 weeks, you know, when you think about it. They lost their game this weekend. You know, they're supposed to play, you know, against Texas. That's probably not going to happen. And then I think on the 31st, they're against TCU. I would be interested to see if that happens. I think eventually, when it comes down to it, they're going to lose a game. I think they're going to find one of these games that are going to be able to come back. As we get longer into the season, as we get into the late October and early November, I just don't know if there's going to be enough opportunities. And I think they're going to have to figure out what's going on. I know the AD said that, you know, there's some false negative tests, you know, that maybe kind of led to this, but again, this just shows the challenge. Look at the Vanderbilt situation, Mark, with, you know, they had 56 players play last weekend's game. I think the threshold was 53. Then they had to cancel this weekend's game with Missouri. I mean, it's just a challenge everywhere you go that these teams are just trying to have enough players at enough positions to be able to play. So it's always one of those things that's in the back of our minds that no matter what, people think that maybe things are getting better with COVID. It's still there. It's still kind of finding its way to interrupt the sports world.
All right. UCF is back in action against Memphis. It's an elimination game. I mean, if either one wants to get to a New Year's Six Bowl, you have to win this game. And really, the format is you got to win out. UCF has some things to correct. The penalties clearly were a factor in the last two games, and it came back to bite them against Tulsa. Memphis has dealt with COVID issues. They've lost a couple of games. They lost that game to SMU a couple of weeks ago on a field goal. What's your thoughts as UCF tries to correct mistakes and goes to play a talented Memphis team?
Well, I think to me, you know, the thing that stood out to me in that Tulsa loss, besides the penalties, was just that, you know, UCF didn't get into its tempo. It never got into a rhythm at all in that game. And, you know, we know when UCF plays that tempo, that speed, that UCF fast, you know, that they're able to do pretty much anything they want against any team. When they don't do that, that's when they struggle. They're not a team that's going to, you know, huddle and take its time and use up much of the play clock. They want to get out there and get moving. Because of the penalties, I think that's throwing them off a little bit. They have to fix that issue. They have to make sure that they get out there and play to that tempo speed. We know Memphis, you know, again, is coming off a bad loss. Memphis defensively struggled a little bit. I think this is going to be at some point maybe a high-scoring game. I'm not saying like in the 40s or 50s, but I think you're going to see some points put up here, especially early on. But again, if UCF can stop the penalties, they can stop maybe, you know, putting themselves in those third and long situations, they have opportunities to make plays and to score points. And they got to get some guys back who are kind of banged up. You know, I know Trey Nixon, we're not sure what his status is yet, you know, but you got Marlon Williams needs to come back. They had some injuries on the running back situation. So they need those guys to get back and get up to full speed if they want to win this game.
All right, back to Florida. I mean, LSU is 1-2. Their offense, Matt, has not been the problem. They've been able to move the ball, which means we could have one of those high-scoring games. LSU is looking at a potential 1-3 start, and for Florida, the margin for error now is gone. So here comes this game against LSU. Any reason why a Gator fan should be concerned?
Well, the only thing you would be concerned with is, like you said, LSU's really reeling right now, and I think that there's a pride factor. I think they want to come out and play hard. But again, you know, I think Florida feels the bad taste in their mouth. I mean, they realize that they had an opportunity there to beat Texas A&M. They look at the idea they were considered a favorite to win the East, to maybe even win the SEC and maybe get to a playoff spot. That's kind of starting to go out the window. So they want to make sure that they continue to do what they're doing. They've got to put up the big points like they have on offense. It's just defensive. They got to find a way to eliminate, you know, to get some pressure, to put pressure on Miles Brennan, the LSU quarterback, make him make bad mistakes, get turnovers. When they do those kind of things, especially in the past, you know, it's always led to good things. They've always been able to take advantage of that, but they weren't able to do that against Texas A&M. So that's going to be something they're going to have to do. I think this is, I agree with you. I think this is going to be a high scoring game, but I think if Florida wants to win this game, they've got to get nasty a little bit. They've got to be able to get in the backfield and they've got to be able to be disruptive, which is something they haven't done in the last couple of games.
All right. Share with me who you think is going to win Alabama, Georgia, but also, and we're going to talk about this throughout the year, to me, Matt, this is one of those games where the potential of a close quality loss may be a benefit versus the team that's going to play potentially 2 to 4 fewer games when I talk about comparing resumes of Big Ten and Pac-12 schools versus whoever may lose this game Saturday, if that question makes sense. You know what I'm saying? That somebody can end up going 9-1 and play a close game and lose this game versus somebody that sits there and says, yeah, I went 6-0 and then I won a conference championship game at 7-0. My resume is better.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is the challenge that the College Football Playoff Selection Committee could have. If this Alabama-Georgia game, like you said, it's a close game. Let's say Georgia loses by a field goal or loses by a touchdown. You know, and you get to the end of the season and you look at the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Pac-12 only playing 7 games. The Big Ten is only playing 8. Let's say they don't get a full 8. Let's say Ohio State has only played 7 games or 6 games. There's going to be a point where, you know, selection committee is going to say, well, how can we leave out a Georgia team that let's say have that one loss to Alabama, a 7-point loss, and you know, went on to win the rest of their games? How can we leave them out? you know, and put in a 7-0 or 6-0, you know, Ohio State team who maybe played, you know, Rutgers or Indiana or Purdue. When you're looking at the SEC, this is going to be the challenge. And I think this is one of those games. I'm with you. This is a game, right, and it's going to be really interesting to watch. It's going to be interesting to see how one of these teams, or perhaps both, could be there in the discussion for one or two playoff spots, because they're that good and the SEC is playing at that kind of level. So it's going to be tough. And I think I mentioned this last night. It's not going to be an easy when the selection committee makes their decision. It's not going to be one of those decisions that everyone's going to agree upon. It's not going to be unilateral. I think people are going to find out that there's going to be a lot of discussion behind it, but it's worth watching.
And a reminder for those looking forward to watching that game, not the normal 3:30 slot on CBS. It goes primetime 8 o'clock for this one. Matt's on Twitter at OSMattMichelle. Follow him for not just UCF, but everything happening in college football. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Take care.
News with Scott at the top of the hour next.
96.9 The Game, FM, HD, online at 96.9thegame.com, on your phone with the iHeartRadio app, and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos, an iHeartRadio station.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.